Welcome to our Friday morning chapel. Please join me in the responsive opening prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your divine wisdom and fatherly goodness, you cause your children to bear the cross. You send many afflictions upon us to subdue our sinful flesh and to enliven our hearts to faith, hope, and unceasing prayer. We beseech you to have mercy on us and graciously deliver us out of our trials and afflictions, that we may see your grace and fatherly help, and with all the saints forever, praise and worship you. We ask this through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the book, the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 13. And this is in what is often referred to as the Great Heroes of Faith chapter. The author has been going through a variety of the patriarchs and speaking of their faith, and then says this: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was 15 years old, I was attending a Christian high school, and in the summertime, I wasn't around a lot of my friends from my high school. Another young man that I was a friend with took me over to a baseball game and introduced me to some of his friends, and there were maybe five or six, and we were standing and just talking, just getting acquainted, and they were asking me about myself, where I lived and where I went to school and things, and they started to really kind of needle me with, well, why do you go to a Christian high school? Why do you do that? Started to kind of get on me about it a little bit. Felt like they were making fun of me for it. And I came to realize after talking to them that none of them, my friend was a Christian, but none of them were Christians. And And it kind of put me into an odd situation. I felt very, very strange all of a sudden, having to defend. And I defended myself by saying, well, my parents wanted this. And but I just remember feeling this was like the first time in my life I had to kind of defend in front of people who obviously were not Christian why I would care about Christianity and knowing my Savior and so on. And I really felt like a stranger in the middle of this group. The text in front of us talks about believers that way as strangers and pilgrims on earth. St. Peter, when he writes about this, refers to Christians in this world as foreigners. And there are times when we may end up facing ridicule from the unbelieving world for caring about Christ and our faith and going to heaven and all of that. And I remember after Bethany College used to be a two-year college, and then when I finished here, I went to Minnesota State right in town. And about my senior year, I decided to study for the ministry. And I was announcing this to a couple of my professors one day after class. And one of my profs said, why do you want to waste your life on that? Why do you want to waste your life on that? And that's that same type of kind of feeling like a stranger, an alien. The challenge for us as Christians is we're living for this ultimate goal of going to heaven, and we can't see it and have never gotten to see it yet. And on top of that, the world that we're living in is pretty nice. Sometimes it can almost feel like heaven. There's a lot of stuff here that can seem pretty interesting to us. So the fact that our faith has an invisible goal, that puts us at odds with the world that we're living in. But in a sense, it also puts us at odds with ourselves. Because I know inside of me, my sinful flesh still questions things about my faith and still looks at the things I can get in this world, and they look pretty good sometimes. Sometimes I can have questions like, if this whole living for heaven thing is kind of futile and ends up being a big letdown, well, what then? It's all so far away. It's so far away in my life. I especially thought that when I was your age. And will it ultimately let me down? Is there any evidence, really, that it's there? Am I an idiot for dedicating my life to this and being so into this thing? What if Christ didn't even exist? What if this is all one big hoax? So my faith gets attacked not only from the world, but from me and from my own sinful reasoning and from my temptations to look at the things here in this world. And we can easily get distracted living in this foreign land that can be pretty nice. We can easily get distracted by all the stuff around us. You know, when soldiers are away at war and living in a foreign country during wartime, anything that they get from home is really magnified and appreciated. In their tents, if they get pictures or some special thing sent to them from home, boy, they put it up. And they make sure to hang on to that. It has a lot more intense meaning. And they have, it just intensifies their desire to actually go back to where they really belong, to really go back and be where their home truly is. By faith in Christ, God, by creating faith in your heart that loves your Savior, that appreciates Him for paying for all of your sins so you can go to heaven, that faith that God creates in us, even though we're living here in this kind of foreign world, this land that we're in, causes us to realize that we live in a better country, and there's a built-in longing and intensity in us that wants to ultimately get to that place, to go where we belong. And I'll just say this, when I was a young Christian college student, I cared about that, but that intensity grows as you go older in life. And you start to face struggles and problems and trials and health issues and things like that. And as you watch people from your generation dying away, that'll start to happen for you. Boy, does that faith and the intensity of wanting to be in heaven, it starts to get stronger and stronger. Our text says, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. St. Paul, when he wrote about this, I love this, he said, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. And you can see this in many believers in the scriptures. The story of Joseph in the Old Testament, remember Joseph is taken off into slavery and then rises to kind of like being a vice president in Egypt. And finally his family comes over, his brothers and everybody and his dad come over. And he makes his brothers promise that when he dies, they will take his bones back to the fatherland. That's a picture of the believer that wants to so intensely get out of this fallen world and all the stuff that's going to rot away to nothing, which is really all this world gives us, and to be in a place that's going to last forever. And that's the beautiful home in heaven our Savior has won for us. So our faith connects us to that home, and it also connects us to the fellow believers in this world, the fellow foreigners and strangers that are going through this life along with us. About 10 times in my life, I've had an opportunity to be over in other countries where I'm in a church service, a worship service, with fellow Christians of my same faith, and yet a lot of times I couldn't even understand what the service was about because it was in a different language. But what's interesting is the connection that you have to those people. I hope you get to do this sometime. There's still a connection and a bond that you feel because you know that you all belong to the same country, even though you're speaking a different language. You ultimately belong to that same eternal home in heaven that God has made you, where he's made you a citizen as well. So heavenly citizens are always aspiring to something greater than whatever this life has to offer. Our text says, God has planned something better for us. That's a great line. Just let that sit in your heart for a second. God has planned something better for us. No matter what you could have in this life and how great it could ever be. I hope you get to have a nice, comfortable life. But God has planned something better for us. Just to help us kind of picture this a little bit. Imagine a 14-year-old boy living in a third world country. He's been in an orphanage his whole life. He's just known nothing but abject poverty. His playground is just dirt and has had the worst food and nothing at all. Suddenly getting adopted by a very, very wealthy family over here in the United States that has built a beautiful mansion, has swimming pool and everything else. And now that he's adopted, they're trying to explain to him what it's going to be like to live like that in the new home that he's waiting for. And he's trying to imagine it, but he has no point of reference to how fantastic it will be. When God comes to you and me and tells us about the heaven that our Savior has won for us and that's waiting for us, we have no point of reference to how fantastic it's going to be. You can try to imagine some of the most beautiful mansions around you and the best food you've ever tasted, but it's all beyond that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And so what we're looking forward to as believers in Christ is so far beyond what we can have in this life. And whenever God addresses that to you as a believer in this Savior, whenever God addresses that to you, he speaks with absolute certainty. There's nothing iffy about your eternal home that's waiting for you. Even in our text, he has prepared a city for them. Just like Jesus who says, I go to prepare a place for you. So by faith in Christ, God gives you every right to claim heaven as your home right now, even though you're not living there yet. And it's the very thought of living there someday that will help you overcome and get through all the trials and struggles and problems that are probably going to be laid out for you in the future in your life. But may that hope of heaven that you have with certainty through Christ not let the troubles of this world overwhelm you. Your Lord says to you, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That is for sure. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, that he may lead home his bride, the Church of Believers, that we, with all of your saints, may finally enter into your eternal kingdom. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in his peace. Amen.